The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus began to teach his disciples that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you're not on the side of God, but of men." As he called to him the multitudes with his disciples, he said to them, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what does it prosper? What does it profit a person, an individual, to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, to him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Let us pray. Be present with us, O Spirit of God. Instruct our hearts, illumine our minds, enfold us in your embrace. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Not sure if you caught the theme of our readings, but from the get-go, it is about family. It's about kinship, descendants. Even our psalmist spends quite a bit of time in praise and also lament, talking about the descendants, talking about those who are in covenant with God. And of course, we encounter this covenant-making God in our first lesson, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But what does this mean for the season of Lent? This is a season where we spend time in reflection, I pray, spending time with our hearts, with our minds, spending time with Jesus, spending time turning, making those adjustments, those shifts, as the Spirit leads and guides our hearts. It is a time of turning. And in the middle of that, we've been on Sunday mornings and on Saturday afternoons spending quite a bit of time looking at this question of what it means to be beloved of God, beloved children of God. Because as our readings today express, there is the insistence on making sure that we spend some time in this space. That we spend some time in this space. And so we've spent a fair bit of amount of time walking with Jesus, learning that we are called to be apprentices of his way. And being apprentices, or to be an apprentice of Jesus, is rooted in a love that comes to us from God, this voice that says, "You are my beloved. In you I am well pleased." These words have carried me through many seasons of loss, many new ventures, seasons where I've gained a deeper understanding and clarity about the work of God in my own personal life, my character, my way of living in this world. These words, you are my beloved. Because it's God's way of drawing us close. And also God's way of insisting that God's presence is with us. If you recall the words of the Nicene Creed, "For us and for our salvation, he came down." For us and our salvation. And so these words of comfort, words that are meant to fuel us and give us strength, are not just simple, you could say, sentimental words. You have to remember that Jesus' love is a fierce and bold love. It is a fierce and bold kind of love. It is a patient love. And thanks be to God, it's the kind of love that covers a multitude of sins. And so it's also a love that nurtures hope. And we get this in the Gospel of Mark. Every time that Jesus spends time with his disciples discussing the trip to Jerusalem to die, to be betrayed, to be turned over, every single time in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus says, I am going there and this will happen to me, but I will rise again. On the third day, I will rise again. I will meet you by the shore. But Jesus insists on this being an aspect of what it means to take up the cross, to journey, to make that way to Jerusalem. And so Lent, when we focus on carrying the cross, a cross that quite often, and I don't know what kind of cross you're bearing and carrying today, but most of the time a cross is heavy. It's a heavy burden. This coming Friday, we're going to spend some time during our Lent retreat focusing on Jesus carrying the cross and what it means for us as the people of God that Simon the Cyrene comes alongside Jesus to help him carry that cross. Because crosses are heavy to carry. They are a burden sometimes. And the good news is we're not being called to be heroic, but to be faithful. And what does that look like? It looks like Peter. It looks like Peter. Peter in the scriptures. No sooner had Jesus shared his doom and gloom news than he decides that it's time to rebuke Jesus. It's time to rebuke the master. It's time to have a little one-on-one with Jesus and let him know, hey, this message, this negative message that you are just keep putting into our ears, let's talk about this. This is no bueno, no good. Let's knock this off. He rebukes Jesus. And Jesus sees this, and it's really interesting in Mark. It's like Jesus turned and looked at the disciples, almost as if to say, really? Are you doing this? And then rebukes Peter, pulls him aside in front of everyone. Jesus does not sugarcoat, speaks plainly. In the Greek, it says, and Jesus spoke of these things openly, conversationally. I'm about to die. I'm about to go to Jerusalem. He spoke of these things. There was no nuance. There was no hiding. There was no, you know, let's put this message out there so that I can get many likes on my message or approval from a society that seeks to somehow nuance things so that people will be happy with the message. None of that. Jesus spoke plainly about what was about to happen. And Peter responds or reacts. And Jesus sets the moment straight again. And I thank God that for Mark, this is good news. Why? Because it says something about what it means to be part of this beloved community, beloved children of God. It says something that Peter just kind of blows it. Because to follow Jesus doesn't mean you have to have it all together. To follow Jesus doesn't mean we've checked off every box. We can rattle off the 39 articles behind the Book of Common Prayer. No. Peter does something that invites us to reflect on our own sense of not having it together. Perhaps Peter was scared. Perhaps his dream of sitting next to Jesus or somehow having some sort of administrative position in the kingdom of God on earth I don't know. I have no idea. But this is not good news for Peter. And thank God, this is good news for us. Because I think, at least I do, there are moments when I struggle accepting the way of God, the way of love. Take, for example, Abram and Sarah in the Hebrew Scriptures. Just prior to the portion of Scripture we read, God connects with Abraham, or Abram, tells him his descendants will be numerous as the stars. And Abraham can't believe this. This is really at 99? This is going to happen? You know, you could have asked me if I have the energy for this. Right? You really believe that this is what I need right now? I mean, Paul is unkind. Paul is a bit of an ageist. He says, and, you know, Abram, whose body was just as good as dead, receives this message from God. And in chapter 12, Abram says to God, well, I don't know how this is going to work, and I don't know if this is going to work, but I, you know, I have Hagar, and she's our slave, and I have a son, maybe Ishmael, who is blessed as well. Maybe this is the fix, because how many times do we try to fix it for God? I see what you're saying, God. Not the miraculous stuff that's going to cost me and stress me out or stretch me and grow me. No, no, I have a solution, God. Yes, we're on the same page. And what does God say? Your ways are not mine. And here in the gospel, it reminds Peter, you're thinking of things like from the human perspective, not from the perspective of God. Thank God for Sarah and Abraham and Peter, because I can identify with a God who comes and says, I want to do this through you. I want to do this through this community. And what do we do? I think most of the time, on occasion you'll get the one person that says, you know, God, I am as qualified. I'm the person you're looking for. But what I hear most of the time is, I don't think God, is God being, was that metaphor, God? Was that some way of, you know, was that a, I don't understand your message, because if I'm hearing this, you're going to do something in and through me, and because you see something that I can't see. And I think that that is the good news, that God moves towards us in a way that goes beyond the shame that we carry, that goes beyond the story that we've heard over and over in our heads that says we are just not good enough. It's a love that goes beyond those places and ideas that have kept us imprisoned about our capacity and our abilities. It goes beyond those ideas that our culture puts forward, even for discipleship, that it's the vibrant among us that can follow Jesus. That you have to have some level of competency, some level of know-how, some level of intelligence, some level of substance. This love says, I'm sending you, and I'm going with you, and I'm inviting you to imagine a future with me, God says. Peter doesn't have it together. Why? Because we're not called to be heroic. We're called to be faithful. And the good news is that Jesus comes to us and sees through the screens. Notice, Jesus rebukes Satan. He takes Peter alongside. But the beef Jesus has is with Satan, that negative message, that negative influence. Remember, we've talked about that power or those principalities that come and attempt to limit what God seeks to do in our lives. The accuser of our hearts, the one who goes before God and says, you see how messed up this person is? You seriously, you think God is going to use you? Jesus says no to that, and yes, because he doesn't boot Peter out of the community. He doesn't ask Peter, and there's the door, Peter. Now please leave. Mr. Negative, please leave this community of faithful people. No, please go out. No, Jesus continues to walk with the disciples, continues to insist that Peter is part of the community. And God has been doing this for the longest time. And we are blessed because God approached Abram and Sarah. God is blessed because God appeared to Paul, that persecutor of the church. And then he writes the letter that we read of Romans and reminds us again that is this God who continues to imagine something far greater than we can imagine for our very own lives. Make sure this stays with you. There is absolutely nothing you can do to make God stop loving you. Absolutely nothing. Peter, Sarah, Abraham, the saints that have gone, our loved ones who are no longer here, who quite possibly struggle their entire lives with, am I good enough? Yes. There's this resounding yes. You may be sitting here still wondering, well, what about me? I feel so unworthy. Remember Peter. Remember Paul. Remember the saints that have gone before us. Remember that it is the God who chooses us. Abram, God comes to Abram and says, I'm doing this. I want to do this. This is what I see, and this is what I am calling you to. And Lent is calling us to discover once again that we're beloved children of God. That the one who went through the waters of baptism like us too and heard that voice come down from heaven reminds us one day, once again, not for us to feel warm and fuzzy and skip away, no, but to actually enter into lifting that cross and recognizing that when Jesus spoke of the cross, he said, but this is not the end. There's a resurrection. This is not triumphalism, by the way. I have a lot of colleagues who will not speak about resurrection throughout entire Lent. Jesus insists that we need to keep in mind that the dark valley or the cross you are bearing now or the space that you find yourself is not going to crush and destroy you. It is not the end. There is hope. Maybe you need to hear that today. That to be beloved is to live within that tension of cross and resurrection. And recognize that the only thing that will carry you through is knowing that there's absolutely nothing that you can do to make this God stop loving you. We need to recall that we are beloved and discover God's complete love for us. Again, that this love is stronger than our worst perceptions of ourselves. Stronger than that one episode that has been defining our lives forever, it seems. Stronger than our biggest screw-ups. Stronger than our deepest pain. Stronger than our deepest doubts. Whatever cross you're bearing today, keep your hope anchored in this love. I went hiking this past Friday, and so if you see me walking around stiffly, it's not because of the microphone, it's because I'm sore. My body discovered muscles that had been atrophied for so long. It was amazing to go out there with a hiking group to the Estrellas and do a trail. And I thought, this is the easy trail, as Brandy mentioned, this is the easy trail. And I thought, oh, okay. So it'd be flat all the way, you know, maybe a drinking fountain here and there. It's amazing to walk together, but also to recognize that we're all going at it at a different pace. And what I loved about being out there is we would, whether it was me or somebody else, would always turn back to see. Are we together? Are we tracking? We're going to wait right here until we can see them crest and come around. Why? Because we are all on our different pace. Sometimes in life, as we carry our cross, we are all walking at a pace. And it's good to know that someone can turn around and say, there they are. Let's wait. Do you need water? Do you need something to help you? Because that is the nature of carrying your cross in community. With this, I finish. The word beloved is one of my favorite words in Hebrew. It's the word yadid, which you get the word, the name David or David from. When the Old Testament talks about David, they speak of David the beloved, yadid David. And maybe I've shared this with you, but I'd like to share it again. But the word yadid means, it gives you a word picture of a woman traveling from one place to another place with a child. And in ancient Near Eastern cultures, like much like today, they carry their baby between their shoulders in a bit of a strap in front of their bodies. So Yadid means he or she who dwells between the shoulders of God. It's that sense of being carried. So that even when you sleep, you're going somewhere. Even when you're discouraged or tired, this God keeps moving you forward. This God is near and close, never far, because we're beloved.